This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. Today we're going to be discussing the life of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه. And as most of you know from the entire semester, Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, his real name is not really Abu Huraira, that's his kunya. And his real name before Islam was Abdu Shams. He met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he did, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Bal Abdul Rahman." He told Abu Huraira that rather your name is Abdul Rahman and it's not Abdu Shams. So Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, "يا نعم بل عبد الرحمن بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم." That of course rather it will be Abdul Rahman and not Abdul Shams, the slave of the sun. It will be the slave of the merciful. O Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, may my mother and father go ransom for you on your behalf. And from that point onwards, Abdul Shams became known as Abdul Rahman. And how did he get this title, Abu Huraira? Abu Huraira, as a young man, he used to play with cats a lot. And he would play, particularly, you know, he would play with cats. So, he had one small cat that he would play with a lot. So his friends and everybody around him, they started calling him Abu Huraira, because a hir is a cat. A hurair is a small cat. And this small cat that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an had was a female cat. So they called it Huraira. Hir is a cat and Hurair is a small cat. Umar, Umair and all those type of things. Fu'ail, it's the pattern where whenever the Arabs want to make something seem small. Kitab, Kutayyib. You know? So whenever the Arabs want to make something seem small, they use this, you know, pattern. Fu'ail. So Huraira, the small cat. So that's why he became known as Abu Huraira. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call Abu Huraira Abu Hir. Abu Hir. Hir is a cat as well, but it's not a small cat. So from that point onwards, Abu Huraira preferred being called Abu Hir because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named him Abu Hir. And this was, you know, the practice of the Sahaba. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give a name to a Sahabi, they would always love to be called by that name. And that's, you know, the type of thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fourth caliph, and from amongst the 10 Sahaba who had been given the glad tiding of Jannah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, one day, he was with his wife, Fatima. And, you know, they had a little bit of an argument, so Ali left. Long story short, at the end of it all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself came to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, so that he can sort of, you know, help them make up, Fatima and Ali. So he went to Ali and he started wiping the thigh of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the dirt that was on there, and he started saying, "Qum abat turab, qum abat turab," stand up, O father of the dirt, because there was dirt on his leg. So from that point onwards, the most beloved name to Abu Huraira, Ali ibn Abi Talib, was Abu Turab. And similarly, the most beloved name to Abu Huraira was Abu Hir. And that was something that the Prophet ﷺ had called him. Now, when Abu Huraira accepted Islam, after that, he totally left everything. He had no wife, he had no money, he had no family issues, none of that. He had a mother who he would commonly visit a lot, and she was a non-Muslim for a portion of her life. So what he did is, he would always go and serve the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also try to benefit from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a constant in his life. And that's why some of the some of the historians mention that Abu Huraira saved or protected and preserved for this ummah nearly 1600 ahadith. And if you look at that as compared to some of the other sahaba, that's a very large number. A very, very large number of ahadith were preserved by one individual, and that was Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because people would be going in their shops, and people would be doing all sorts of things, their livelihood, and Abu Huraira would be doing nothing but talab al-ilm. He would be seeking knowledge, and he would be, you know, as I said, for a great portion of his life, he wasn't even married. All he had was his mother to take care of, who he would commonly call to Islam, and she would just reject. And one day, sadly, his mother started saying evil things about the Prophet ﷺ. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, the Prophet ﷺ was like a father. All the Sahaba, they always had this trust in the Prophet ﷺ. No matter how old they were, no matter what it was, they felt like the Prophet ﷺ would be always there to console them. So whenever they would have a problem, imagine an old man crying, or not an old man, but a man, full grown man crying, and you know, like a baby, and going to another man, and all these men coming to one man, and they're all crying. And so he was like a father figure. And that's true, and that's why in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And in another narration of the verse, of course this is not a narration that's recited, وَهُوَ أَبُلْ لَهُمْ. And he's a father for them. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, He calls them أُمَّهَاتُ, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. And as for the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're like the أُمَّهَات, they're like the mothers. So similarly, Allah's Prophet ﷺ was like a father figure. So Abu Huraira comes crying, and the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he said, مَا يُبْكِيكَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ. What is it that's making you cry, O Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an? So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that, I heard from my mother something about you that I didn't like, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ. So make dua, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah, you know, turns the heart of my mother to like your direction, so that she accepts Islam. So Allah's Prophet ﷺ, he made dua for the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala at that point. And then Abu Huraira says that I went home after that. I went back home. When Abu Huraira went back home, he heard in the house, and just imagine with me, the houses are not the same type of houses that you can't hear inside and all that kind of stuff. The houses you can hear, and at times you can even see. You know, there's cracks in the wall and you can see. So he hears the water, like the water running, almost like someone's pouring a bucket or something like that. And so he tries to knock, he tries to go in. But the mother, she says, مَكَانَكَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ. Stay where you are, O Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. So Abu Huraira stayed where he is, because he's, you know, obedient to his mother. And after a little while, she said to him, Come in now. And when he walked in, his mother said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And that's how the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anha accepted Islam, from the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Huraira, just that he had this great love, and he had great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why you notice, you know, he had so much hadith memorized, because he had this great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to say that, Alhamdulillah alladhi manna ala Abi Hurairata بِصُحْبَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. All praises to you, to Allah Azza wa Jal, who bestowed or granted Abu Huraira the opportunity to be a companion of Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He, just as he had this love for the Prophet of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he also had this love, and this great love, selfless love towards ilm. Selfless love towards ilm. And from that selfless love, one day Zayd ibn Thabit, Zayd ibn Thabit is a big alim from amongst the ulama of the Sahaba. And the Prophet says about Zayd ibn Thabit, he said, أَفْرَضُكُمْ Zayd. That the most knowledgeable of all of you in inheritance law is Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. So he had great knowledge, Zayd ibn Thabit himself. Zayd ibn Thabit, he said, while me and Abu Huraira and one other Sahabi were sitting in the masjid, we were doing different things. Some of us were making dua, some of us were doing different things. The Prophet ﷺ walked in. And at that point, everybody stayed quiet. This was the haybah, the sort of respect that the Sahaba used to give to the Prophet ﷺ. They stopped doing everything. They looked at the Prophet ﷺ and they were just ready to hear a commandment, hear the hadith, hear something from Rasulullah ﷺ that can benefit them in the hereafter. And so the Prophet ﷺ told them, go back to doing whatever you're doing. So, some of them started making dua, and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to say Ameen. And the dua that they made, Abu Huraira, it was his turn now to make dua. So he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka ma sa'alaka sahibai. O Allah, I ask you for all that my two friends have asked. And then he said, wa as'aluka ilman la yunsa. And I ask you for a knowledge that will never be forgotten. And you see, his knowledge is never forgotten. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The narrations, till this day we use them. How many narrations in the book that you just saw in front of you that we used to go over those 10 hadith? How many of those 10 were Abu Huraira? Probably, if you count now, you can tell me. But a lot of them, right? And if not a lot in this book, a lot in books in general. Abu Huraira is a recurring name in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said Ameen to this dua, and of course, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for Ibn Abbas, so he became the faqih or the tarjuman of the Quran, right? The person who understood the Qur'an well and passed it on to the people and translated, as in he interpreted the Qur'an for the people. Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'weel. O Allah Azza wa Jal, give him the understanding of the religion. And that's what Ibn Abbas became then. They call him the Habrul Ummah. The person who is the scholar of the Ummah. Because of that dua that the Prophet ﷺ made. Similarly, when Allah's Prophet ﷺ said Ameen to this dua, it became accepted. And Abu Huraira was now, till this day we found him to be the shining star when it comes to the narrations from the Sahaba. Though, there was people more knowledgeable than him. But he said, عِلْمٌ لَا يُنْسَى. A knowledge that's never forgotten. He had a dua, and it's never forgotten. Look at thereafter, the two other people, they said, وَنَحْنُ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ عِلْمًا لَا يُنْسَى. They also wanted the Ameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they said that we also ask Allah Azza wa Jal a knowledge that's never forgotten. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا الْغُلَامُ الدَّوْسِ. That this young Dawsi man from Daws, he has, he has outdone you. He's already, beaten you guys to it. So I'm not going to, he didn't say Ameen at that point. And that's why, you don't hear that sort of... Though, as I said, Zayd ibn Thabit, as the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْرَضُكُمْ Zayd. He's an alim. Alim as well. Now, and the Sahaba in general, they were ulama, a lot of them. A lot of them were ulama from amongst the Sahaba. A lot of them had a lot of knowledge than the lay folk of today. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if you look at his life, you look at the amount of, you look at the amount of difficulties that he went through just so he can collect this knowledge and preserve it on thereafter for the ummah, it was a lot. It's not that easy to collect and, you know, preserve this knowledge for the ummah thereafter. Just collection of knowledge itself. There's always trials and tribulations in the way. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said that nobody will gain this knowledge unless or until he becomes poor at the end of it. He becomes really poor because all of your time and your life is spent towards knowledge. So you can collect and collect and collect and then save it on for the next generation. Abu Huraira did that. And he tells a story about himself. He said that one day I was so hungry. And honestly, none of us can imagine this. I would say imagine this, but none of us can do it. Because none of us have been this hungry. At the end of the day, if we really get hungry, we can go and beg and somebody would give us. But Abu Huraira even refused to beg. He didn't want to beg. He said, I was so hungry that I would go and ask some of the other companions of Rasulullah ﷺ about a certain ayah in the Qur'an, hoping that he would invite me into the house so I could eat something. And this is how hungry he was. So he went to Abu Bakr and he said to him, such and such ayah. Abu Bakr gave him the answer and he left. Then he went to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he said, you know, such and such ayah, and he gave him the answer and he left. Nobody invited him into his house at that point. And he didn't want to say, you know, can I come in? I'm hungry. I'm dying of hunger, literally. And when the Prophet ﷺ saw Abu Huraira, he recognized what's going on. He realized what's going on. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, come in. He brought him into the house. And he asked his family, what do you have? Do you have something to eat? So they had like a bowl of milk. That's all they had. This is the house of Rasulullah ﷺ. All they had was a bowl of milk. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, she says that كَانَ يَمُرُّ بِنَا هِلَالٌ ثُمَّ هِلَالٌ ثُمَّ هِلَالٌ وَلَمْ تُوقَدْ فِي بَيْتٍ إِلَّا. That a month would go by and another, and fire wasn't burnt in her house. As in, we didn't have any meat. All we had eaten during that entire time was nothing more than what? No, all that they would eat is, you know, as the Sahaba, when they asked them, they said, كَيْفَ كُنْتُمْ تَعِيشُونَ Al aswadain, just water and dates, nothing more. They would just have water and dates. 3 months would go by and all they would have is water and dates. But even then, the Prophet ﷺ is willing to sacrifice what he has, that little portion. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ saw that pot of milk, he said, where did you get this? That's what he said. That's the first question that he asked his family. Where did you get this? He said, somebody sent it for you, O Rasulullah ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ took this bowl and he didn't eat it himself. He didn't drink it himself. And imagine a bowl of milk. Before that, all they would have is dates and water and that kind of stuff. So he said that go and bring all of Ahl al-Suffah. And this is amongst the mu'jizat of Rasulullah ﷺ. He said bring all. And this didn't occur once. And I gave you some stories before as well, where the Prophet ﷺ just a little portion of food would be enough for, you know, even 1,000 people, as narrated in one of the narrations. 1,000 people ate from the pot that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu had prepared. I believe it was Yawm al-Khandaq. 1,000 sahabi ate from that. And over here he said, bring all of the Ahl al-Suffa. Ahl al-Suffa were a collection of poor people who had traveled here, and some of them were living there and stuff like that. And the Prophet ﷺ would keep them in the masjid, and he would teach them al-Islam, and he would have some of the other Sahaba also, you know, teach them things. So Abu Huraira, you know, he said that, I didn't like that. He said, I wanted to drink something of it, because if all of Ahl al-Suffa come, what am I going to get out of it? So, but he said, you know what, sam'an wa ta'a, he went to the masjid and he called all of Ahl al-Suffa. All of them came to the house of Rasulullah ﷺ, and one by one they started drinking from the pot. And then the Prophet ﷺ looked at Abu Huraira. I can almost imagine the Prophet ﷺ smiling and saying, "Baqitu ana wa ant." It's just me and you now. You can almost imagine the Prophet ﷺ speaking to Abu Huraira at this moment. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Sadaqta ya Rasulullah, you've spoken the truth, O Prophet of Allah." So The Prophet ﷺ, even now, he gave the pot to Abu Huraira first and he said, drink. And then he took the leftover and he drank it himself. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. But what I'm trying to get to over here is that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he went through all of this difficulty, all so that he can gain this knowledge. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's why, you know, he found people in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to them that you know, he started blaming and he started addressing the people in the workplaces. He said, what are you guys doing? I'm paraphrasing it. What are you guys doing? Whilst the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being spread in the masjid to its heirs. Go and take from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you not going to go? Are you not going to go take that? So they all left and Abu Huraira stood in the spot. They all went to the masjid. And they said, what are you talking about? They came back afterwards. They came back and said, Abu Huraira, you told us the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being spread in the masjid and we went to take it, but nothing is there. So he said, you didn't see anything there at all? They said, yeah, we saw some people, you know, some people praying salah, other people reading Quran, and other people sitting in a gathering where they're discussing halal and haram, fiqh. So Abu Huraira, he looked at them and he said, وَيْحَكُمْ ذَٰلِكَ مِرَاثُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, woe be unto you, that is the inheritance of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهِ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. That the prophets didn't leave behind for inheritance no money, no nothing. They didn't leave that behind. All they left behind was knowledge. So whoever takes this knowledge has taken from the mirath of Rasulullah and the messengers in general. And that's what they've left behind. That's the inheritance that Abu Huraira chose for himself over eating, drinking, sleeping, weddings, all of those things. You know, he went through a lot, but subhanAllah, the very woman that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to work for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later he gave him money. Later to an extent, that at points in time, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, would even become the wali al-Madinah. He would even become the governor of Medina when Muawiyah wouldn't be around. So he had a lot of money towards the end of his life. This was the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put him through. And he got married to the very woman that he used to work for. He said, you know, I used to work for this woman and she used to pay my checks. And now I got married to her. Subhanallah. Busra bint Ghazwan radiallahu ta'ala anha. And one of the unique stories about Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anha, or unique aspects of his life, is that when he got married to what he would do is, at night time, Abu Huraira would stand, he would fast in the morning, and then he would stand in prayer for the third of the night, and then he would go and wake up his wife, and he would go to sleep. And then she would stand the next third. And then, after standing in prayer for the third of the night, this woman, the second third of the night, this woman would go and wake up, wa alaykum as-salam. After standing at night for the third of the night, this woman would then get up and what? And go and wake up her daughter. And then she would stand for the next third of the night. And just like this, every single day, they would take turns praying so that the entire night in their house would be spent in prayer. So that the barakat from Allah Azza wa Jal would come down constantly all night to the household. And this was, you know, a practice of Abu Hurairah. So I'm saying that along with all the sacrifice that Abu Hurairah had made for ilm, he'd also made sacrifices for what? For ibadah as well. Along with the knowledge and action. Actions are necessary with knowledge. Knowledge necessitates the action. And here's Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, fasting the mornings and in the evenings he's praying, and then his daughter is praying, and thereafter, you know, he's praying, and then his wife is praying, and then his daughter is praying all of the night. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, Marwan ibn al-Hakam had sent for Abu Hurairah a lot of money. He'd sent for Abu Hurairah, he was testing Abu Hurairah. He'd sent him like 100 dinar, I believe. 100 dinar. Do you guys know what's a dinar and what's a dirham? What's a dinar and what's a dirham? Dinars are gold coins, and dirhams are silver coins. Inshallah, I'll tell you a story about dinars and dirhams afterwards. But he gave him 100 dinars. And by the night, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, you know, the daughter of Abu Hurairah came to Abu Hurairah and she started complaining that, "Oh Abu Hurairah, you know, my friends tell me that your father doesn't put jewelry on you." So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, he said to his daughter, "Then just tell your friends that your father fears for hellfire from you upon you. And that's why, you know, he keeps you ascetic, he keeps you away from the dunya." So you find that and add that up to the story that we're talking about now, and that is that 100 dinar came to Abu Hurairah. As in, he wasn't cheap. He wasn't trying to be a cheap skit in front of his daughter. He had a lot of money. He would have money coming in, people would give him gifts, and he himself would be, you know, as I said, he became the governor of Medina at times as well. So, the 100 dinar, by the end of the night, he had already given them up. And do you know what a dinar is worth? Maybe you're not understanding because we're saying 100 dinars. 1 dinar today, right, one of those coins, golden coins, I'm estimating for you, are worth 1,000 rials. So you do the math. So he sent him 100,000 rials. Not a little bit of money, a lot of money. By the evening, Abu Hurairah had donated every single penny of it. To an extent that the next day, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, he sent another messenger to Abu Hurairah. He said, "I'd made a mistake. That 100 dinar weren't for you. I was supposed to give them to someone else. Can I have them back?" And at that point, Abu Hurairah was in shock, because he owes a big debt now. He said, "You know, I've already given them out. So when I get more money, I'll pay you back. Otherwise, it's 100,000, quote unquote, 100,000. We're guesstimating, or estimating, you know, about 100,000 rials in today's math. He had given out all in one day. So he wasn't trying to be cheap, or he wasn't trying to, you know, be penny pinching, as they say. He wasn't trying to penny pinch with his daughter. Rather, what he was doing is, he was trying to teach his daughters and children and his wife to be generous. And he was trying to keep them ascetic, away from the dunya, so that the dunya doesn't seep through to their hearts. And this was, you know, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, he, you know, coming to the end of the life of Abu Hurairah. Of course, as I said, we're not doing justice. Over here, I'm not able to do justice to the life of Abu Hurairah. The life of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, again, and we're discussing this, I said something similar in the other class as well. The life of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an is a life that can be discussed in volumes. Because he himself has left behind for us volumes. And for everything that he's left behind, or almost everything that he's left behind, There's a story. So we can't discuss everything pertinent to this life. But I'll discuss, or we will discuss whatever we can. And what we can, we did. And coming to the end of the life of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Hurairah, when he got sick, he began to cry. So people said to him, "Mada yubkik, ya Abu Hurairah? Why do you cry, O Abu Hurairah?" He said that, "I'm not crying because I'm leaving this dunya of yours." As in, it's not even my dunya, his heart is not attached to the dunya. He said, "I'm not crying because I am exiting and leaving this dunya of yours. I just cry because the distance that I'm going to travel is extremely far. And the stuff that I've taken along with me is very little." And this is Abu Hurairah talking. Where are we from this? What is the stuff that we've taken behind? A man who had spent his life of Islam in what? In going through sacrifices after sacrifices so that he may save the sunnah for you and I. And this is a recurring scenario. I talk about the death of Abu Hurairah, Umar ibn Khattab didn't say anything different. He said similar things himself. And this is Abu Hurairah, a person who's left behind encyclopedic knowledge for the ummah. And he says that, "I think that I haven't done much." And now he says, "I have finally came to the end of my journey, and I don't know in front of me is Jannah or in front of me is Nar." And this is Abu Hurairah again. When one of the people came to Umar ibn Khattab when he was on his deathbed, and he said something similar to him, he started saying, praising him to his face. He told him to stay quiet. He said, "Wallahi wadidtu law anni kharajtu minhu kifafa, la liya wa la ali." That by Allah, I just wish that I leave this dunya with a balanced scale. I don't have anything against me, and I don't have anything for me. After all of the deeds you had done, O Umar, you say this? Yes, he said this. After all of what he had done, he says the same thing. Abu Hurairah. Because we don't know at the end of the day what's waiting for us. Is it Jannah or is it not? And this is, you know, Umar ibn Khattab, even though he knows that he's been given the glad tidings of Jannah, Abu Hurairah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You think these people didn't know the virtue of themselves? Of course they did. But even then, they had adapted the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And thereafter, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the same person who had sent him money to test him before, he said to him, and he was sitting by him, he said, "Shafak Allahu ya Abu Hurairah," that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you cure, or Abu Hurairah. So Abu Hurairah, he said, "Allahumma inni uhibbu liqa'ak, fa'ahibba liqa'i. وَعَجِّلْ لِي فِيهِ." Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I love to meet you. And Allah's Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ." Whoever loves to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala loves to meet him as well. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. And whoever hates the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala hates his meeting as well. And of course, a person that knows that, inshallah, at least I have something to face my Lord with, he's the one who loves the liqa of Allah Azza wa Jal. So even though he said those words, he still understood that I have something to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with. So he started making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that wa'ajjil li fi. So take my soul as soon as possible, O Allah Azza wa Jal. And with that being said, we come to a close on this lesson. And this is the end of the life of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.